Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Oh, hi. Welcome to another episode of I Wave with Jameela Jamil. Are you okay? It's still shit, isn't it? Might be getting shitter. It feels like it's getting shitter. It isn't. It's definitely getting better. Things are going to get better. I'm certain of it. There is a vaccine. There are many vaccines. Biden is coming in. There's another impeachment maybe happening. I feel like hope is on the horizon. But right now, it's okay to just feel shit. We've been through a lot. I'm going to try to continue to bring you as many happy or uplifting or informative episodes as I can. I'm so glad that you liked last week's episode with Deepika Chopra. She is so excellent. She is a doctor of optimism. That's a true thing. And she really just blew my mind last week. And I was so thrilled to see your response to it and how lovely and warm you were to her. It continues to be one of my favorite things about you as an audience is how communicative you are with my guests after each episode. They really appreciate it. And they often tell me that I have the nicest audience of any podcast they've ever been on. So thank you for that. Generally with me, I'm a bit stressed, although I have been sleeping better. I got myself a weighted blanket. Only took me 5 years of people swearing that they're amazing for people with anxiety to finally get one. My one's £40, which is basically a pop star. So it's like lying with a pop star on top of me, and it feels great. So do that because it not only helps me go to sleep, but it helps me stay sleeping. So that's good. Other than that, I'm just sort of trying to survive each day. Definitely taking a break from social media and the news as much as possible because I was having a medical sort of done for work recently and they were taking my pulse and my blood pressure. And because I am a pathetic addict, I had to immediately pick up my phone and start looking through because I can't sit still for a second without doom scrolling. And they said that my heart rate and blood pressure jumped up as soon as I opened Twitter and looked at the news cycle. So to see in real time the physical impact on my stress response, which is vital to my immune system, my happiness, my anxiety, my sanity, was mind-blowing. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. Next time you are going for a medical, I really suggest if you can, or if you have a doctor in your household, just do this experiment to see how intense it is because it's really quite shocking. So I'm going to pull back. I might even just take a full week off just as an experiment to see if my sleep improves. I bet it will. I bet I didn't sleep last year because I spent 13 hours a day on my phone looking into the evil blue light. Anyway, so this week I managed to get the hilarious and honest and so relatable and refreshing, excellent icon that is Celeste Barber. You will know her from Instagram. She lovingly takes the piss out of actresses and models and influencers when they are showing off their hugely unrealistic lifestyles. And she shows what a normal person would look like trying to achieve the same sort of faked, photoshopped nonsense aesthetic. And so she never does it with a mean spirit. And a lot of people are in on it. And a lot of people even, like influencers and models and actresses themselves, submit their own pictures to be ridiculed by her because she goes so viral and it's so funny. And she's a great stand-up. She's a great author. She's a great mum. She talks so honestly about marriage during lockdown and how difficult that is. She talks about going on meds, coming off meds, going back on meds again. And we talk about the extraordinary way that she started last year, which is raising tens of millions of Australian dollars for people who are affected by the wildfires. She's someone who really uses her platform for good. She's trying to promote self-acceptance, self-love, being able to laugh at yourself, being able to let go of unrealistic expectations. And she's also using millions and millions and millions of followers to make sure that she's raising money and raising awareness for causes that matter. She's just great. She restores my faith in humanity. I've been friends with her for about 2 years. If you want a laugh, you should check out a photo shoot we did in 2019, at the end of 2019, for InStar magazine, where we decided to show what a real girls' night out looks like. The pictures are very, very silly because she's very silly and she brings out the silly in me. And I just loved chatting to her. So I hope you will enjoy this episode. I hope it brings you at least an hour of light in these odd, dark times. And keep the faith. I do think things are going to get better. Lots of love. You're my friend. It's such a big deal that you're on my fucking podcast, Celeste Barber, truly one of the greatest icons of our generation. How the fuck are you? Welcome to I Weigh.
Oh, hi, mate. I'm good. I don't know if I'm a fucking icon, even though I tell people
you're
I am
an icon
at all times. Oh, thanks. It's nice to actually see your face.
Same.
What a nice face it is.
Same. We need to pick up our Marco Polo action again. That was fun.
Yeah. I'm really bad at that. And same. Jesse Tyler Ferguson told me about it and I was like, oh, this is fucking great. And it's great for actors because we just talk at each other the whole time. And then so I
soliloquies.
Every bitch I know, I'm like, get on Marco, get, and now everyone is, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not in.
You're just ghosting everyone that you had invited onto the app.
Yeah. It's bad.
Bloody it's bad. Hell. At the beginning of 2020. It should have been an omen as to what was happening in the world. I mean, you are in Australia. Australia was on fire at the beginning of this year. I almost feel like that was 5 years ago because so much happened.
Absolutely.
It feels wild. And you kicked off that year jumping into action in a way that I have almost never seen anyone. What you pulled off at the top of 2020 was so ridiculous. I think you were trying to raise $15,000 as a fundraiser, right? For
30,000,
that was it.
Yeah.
And so then you ended up raising $50 million?
Yeah, 51 point something million Australian. Fuck.
Isn't that ridiculous? It's so, so intensely ridiculous. I was watching it happen and every day you were just being like, oh my God, thanks guys. We hit the 30,000 target. Be like, okay, we've hit a million. You guys are unbelievable. And then it just became 10 million, 20 million, 30, and it just didn't stop. So yeah. You've fixed Australia. Well done.
No,
I'm joking. I know.
I know. I tried. Like I think I might have maybe some PTSD from it because right. It was so overwhelming and my face was fucking everywhere when it, to do with it on top of really horrifying images. And I was sitting in my little ivory tower, you know what I mean, in my air conditioning, doing it while my mother-in-law is being evacuated and my brother-in-law, they're being separated. Like,
you had family members, I remember at the time, just in some of the areas where the sky looked like it was on fire. It was apocalyptic.
Crazy. Yeah. It was apocalyptic. And for 48 hours, it was nighttime. For 48 hours, the sky was dark. And that fucks with people. That fucks with your head when you don't know what time of day it is. And my father-in-law is quite older and didn't understand what was going on. And that's how it started. I remember talking to my mother-in-law and saying, what do you need? And she went, a fucking fire truck. That's all she, and she's a strong woman and she fell apart. And I went, all right, well, let's get you a fire truck. I mean, I don't know shit about shit. I'm a comedian, but I was like, all right, let's get you a fire truck. $30,000. I reckon that's probably what a fire truck costs. Like just panicked and set that goal. And then I remember waking up the next morning and RP, my husband, was like, babe, we've cracked a million. You're going to have to up the target. And I was like, I beg your pardon? A million? That was a few hours ago. And then you get a little obsessive. I got a little obsessive over it. I was like, right, we need to get to 4 million. We need to get to, let's go.
Because yeah, you were on one. It was amazing.
And when you see it happening and you're like, oh, this is what it fucking takes. People just to be told this is what we need. I'm not on the front line, but my mother-in-law is, and these are pictures. So keeping it out of the bullshit media when they kind of pick and choose what they want you to see, because, you know, our leader was nowhere to be fucking seen when it was happening, nowhere to be seen. We were on fire alone and terrified, and people kind of just seeing this stupid face going, oh, she's doing something and I want to do something. Then you kind of get, it's addictive. And, you know, power to the people. It blew my mind. At one point my husband was like, we need a fucking minute off. We were like, it's $6 million. And we went down to the beach. There was some friends there. We just went in. I dived in. I remember my friend was like, oh my God, is it $6 million? Dived in the water, came back up. Walked back out of the beach, and he went, $7 million. And I went, what? Like, in a few minutes. And you just got to get fucking busy. It was the worst. It was the worst I've ever seen. We've lost over 1 billion wildlife in this fucking country. 1 billion wildlife. And it's hard not to get political about it.
100%. And then what ensued after that was a political world moment. You know, we've just seen it everywhere. So that was just such a wild start to the year for all of you. And I mean, we over in America and California in particular haven't exactly had an amazing time fire-wise either. So many animals, so many people, so many houses lost. There's so much going on. But I just cannot stress enough what an example you are to all of us who have platforms, for just getting stuck in, for not making it pretentious, for not making it about kind of galas and all this kind of inaccessible shit. You just showed real pictures from real people. You gave people simple and easy instructions and information. And you did something really, really phenomenal. So just from the straight up top of this, you were saying you're not an icon. You're a fucking icon.
Oh, that's very kind. You just get busy. I've always been like that though. I kind of live by the motto of a little less conversation, a little more action.
Love you. Love you so much for that.
Thank you, darling.
How was your 2020?
A bit of a blur, really. Mm-hmm. My anxiety kicked up, like really stepped up during this pandemic. And I thought during an international pandemic would be a fucking fabulous time when you're locked down to come off my antidepressants. Wasn't my best work.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that makes complete sense, because then there's no work in jeopardy. Like if I was going to do it, that's when I would do it.
Exactly. And I've been on antidepressants for like 11 years. And I know I kind of got to a point where I was like, I don't really remember why I'm on these. I know one of my friends died and I was obviously very upset. It was around that time I kind of went on them, but I kind of was at a point where I went, no, I don't really know. And I've been wanting to try and come off them for years, but you know, all doctors are like, well, you have a very inconsistent life. I was like, thank you. Like, you know, always on planes, nothing, it's not a good time. And I was on Zoloft. So weaning off Zoloft is a fucking nightmare.
So I have no idea. I have no idea what it's like. Will you tell me what it's like?
Well, you get like, my sister and I call it like a little zap, because it's coming out of your body. You feel like you get dizzy spells. You have to really slowly wean yourself, like over weeks, months. And I hate that idea as well, about feeling trapped on something. So coming off that, like your tongue gets a little bit numb and you get these weird like little electrocutions, it feels like, as it's leaving your body. And then you've got to deal with, you know, the emotional side of it, of trying to balance out. So, and I have ADD as well. So you can't have antidepressants along with
ADD medication. Yeah.
They hate each other. And I was starting to, you know, really struggle to retain information again because of my job and because I'm getting busier and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, I want to come off my antidepressants and I want to look at trying to maybe go back on some sort of ADD medication just to fucking give myself a break. So I did that, but there were some days in bed under blankets going, oof, this is a lot and scary. So I remember it kind of being a bit of a blur, if you can remember a blur, it being kind of a bit tricky. And, you know, most of my work this year was supposed to be in the States. That all came to a grinding halt. Couldn't come over,
No, I know. There were so many big plans and Yeah, we were going to basically get married. Like there were so many big plans for this year. And
what did you just say? You were going to get married?
No, I said you and I were going to get married.
Oh, yes. Well, that's still happening.
Yeah, 100%. But no, for sure. Last year, I remember how many big plans you had. And so all of that coming to a kind of crashing halt and then you being stuck in the house. And then you've also got kids. There's, you know, two stepchildren, two children that you have biologically, and so much to do around a house and dealing with their schooling and dealing with everything that parents had to deal with this year. And then also going through all of that, I imagine that was just so much. How long did it take in total? Or did you just go back on?
No, I came off. I was determined to do it. Because I was talking to my husband about it and I miss feeling the feels. Like my emotions have always run pretty close to the surface. And I like that. I like that, well, you know, it makes you a better actor as well. You need to kind of access stuff. And I know that I haven't really been able to do that for a really long time. And I don't like that. So I was kind of looking forward to it. But it got scary at a point because I was just so sad for what felt like weeks. It wasn't weeks, but it felt like it. But it's just my body kind of balancing out. So it was maybe 6 weeks, 2 months. And that's how, you know, we're in a 3-bedroom apartment at the beach though. So very, very lucky. We got that thinking I was going to be in and out a lot in our life. But then we were just like, no, all together at once. And I have a 6 and a 9-year-old boy, two boys. And they're like just throwing tennis balls literally at the wall. And my husband's like, you guys are going to stop that. I was like, let them fucking do it, mate. Like throw the balls. What else are we going to do? We all just kind of lost our mind a bit. But we're in a pretty privileged place.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Australia, we locked it off really quick, not as quick as New Zealand, but we just kind of
fucking New Zealand.
So
just lauding their success over all of us.
Just, do you know that they're now giving the vaccine? Jacinda has just announced, New Zealand government has announced that they're giving the vaccine, offering the vaccine to other smaller Pacific islands for free just because they are.
Oh, God, fucking hell.
Yeah,
fuck
she just
me.
Keeps
just
fucking delivering. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh,
you're amazing.
She's so amazing. Anyway.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, truly, just exemplary in every single way. Fucking New Zealand. Can't we just have one person running the whole world? Can't it just be her? Just give her the world.
Just give her the world.
Give her the fucking world.
I know. If we could have her, that would just be paradise.
For sure. But I just also want to say, just for anyone who's out there who might be thinking about going on antidepressants, who might be worried that they feel no feelings at all, I just want to make sure that we clarify to them that it really depends on the medication that you're on. People have varying different levels of how they feel, how they don't feel. And if you are someone who thinks that you need them or who's been told by a doctor that you need them, definitely still give them a shot because you won't definitely feel numb. Like they're a lifesaver. You were on them for 11 years and they really helped you, right?
Absolutely. And the reason it was numbing for me, that's one of the side effects for me because I have ADD and because I was on them for 11 years. So
it's very specific as an individual and every person responds very, very differently. I just wanted to say that out there so people know.
Absolutely. And now I'm on other medication, which kind of treats my ADD and kind of treats my anxiety at the same time. And that's great for now. And then I may go back on it. But at the time for me, it was 11 years as well. I hadn't been back to a doctor to see if this was still the right dose. I hadn't really managed it or looked after myself kind of properly. I was like, well, that's just one of the tablets I take each day with my vitamins.
Also, and so much has changed. Like your life has changed. Yeah, you are a different person.
Exactly.
You are in a completely unrecognizable situation in your life. And so I completely understand just wanting to know what an unmedicated version of you is like. And it seems like that was the right decision. So I think that that's really great that you were able to muscle through that really tricky time and be able to do that. You wrote something about when you were diagnosed with ADD, which I just found really, really beautiful, which is the moment that you accidentally overheard your mother talking to the doctor about your ADD. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to paraphrase this incorrectly and horribly, but basically, we love her personality. This is just so that she'll find school a bit easier. And you talk about how lucky you were to have a mum who was so reassuring to you about that. Like she never made you feel judged for it. It was just seen as something that would make life that little bit easier. And I just thought that was so beautiful, because issues like ADD or anxiety, et cetera, all of these things are so stigmatized. And I think that that's so beautiful that you were able to have that feeling of acceptance going forward.
It was incredible. Still is. Like, I still get a little bit emotional thinking about it, because you're right, with, you know, stigma, especially with, I can only really speak about ADD because I've got it. There's people just think ADD is, oh, you're just fucking loud and oh God, she's got ADD, she's nuts. It's not what it is. It's the inability to focus. It's the inability to sit, pick up a pen and do your homework.
Yeah.
Mum says she remembers seeing me sit down at my desk. I got my desk. I'm going to put a little candle over here.
Yeah, yeah,
I got
my
pens. I got my new pens. I got myself some gel pens. I'm fucking going to do my homework. I got a little bit of paper. I'm going to get a drink of water. I am ready. And then I was ready to do it, but I just couldn't do it. And I'm reading, not a thing. I still am a terrible reader because I didn't actually read anything until I was diagnosed at 16 is the first time I read something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, that inability to focus. And hearing my mum say that was incredible. She was just like, we know she is loud. We know she is full on, but we like that about her. We like her drama. She's fucking funny. She's all these things. We don't want that to go away. And the doctor was like, it won't. This will just, she'll just be able to sit down and have a minute and sit through a class at school. And mum was like, that's all we want it for. We want it just to make life easier for her, not make her different. And that's a huge thing to hear, especially at 16.
What does your life feel like now that you're on ADD medication? Like, what is the big change that you found?
I'm more focused. I mean, I've got a lot going on. And I had a meeting actually, my Australian manager called me a few weeks back and she was like, can we have a little chat? I was like, yeah, fucking what do you want? And this was before I'd gone back on my medication. I was in the land of nothing at this time, like no medication. And she said, look, I've just spoken to the team. Hilarious, I have a team in the States and everything. And I just want to have a little chat to you about stuff. We're noticing that you're not really retaining anything that we're talking about, like retaining any information. So a job will come up and I'll say no to it, or I'll say yes to it actually. And then the deal memo or whatever will come through and then I'll go, I've said no to this. And Lisa, my agent here, is like, no, we spoke about it and you said, like, I wasn't taking it in because I had so much going on. And with this medication that I'm on, I'm retaining the information. With ADD, you're quite scattered, which isn't always a bad thing. I can multitask like a fucking boss. Like I can have a lot of shit going on at once.
Yeah.
But with the medication, it helps me still do all that. But when I throw all the balls in the air, I can now kind of catch most of them, as opposed to just going, they're all in the air, let's see what happens, and then running away. So it's kind of great because I follow through with things more. You know, I'll unpack the entire dishwasher instead of just the top drawer.
Oh my God. I think I might need ADD medication. Listening to you talk about all of this, I forgot we're even on a podcast and I'm now just asking you. I'm like, and then what happens? Yeah, and then how do you feel? Like, I'm truly just like, this is now just a chat. If everyone else could just leave, actually, everyone who's listening to this, if you guys could all just go away, because I'm just like, we're having a personal chat. Fucking hell, because I've been told by doctors for years that they think I have it since I was a kid at school, because I couldn't get my homework done, couldn't read, couldn't do any of these things. But I came from a family that were very, very, very like embarrassed of mental health conditions at the time. Now everyone's completely on board and accepting, etc. But back then it just kind of felt like, oh no, something wrong with them. So I say we should all investigate whether or not we might have this, because I've heard that it is an epidemic in our generation and especially the generations after us, especially because these fucking phones and these apps are just preying on our attention span. And so I think it's a good thing for us all to go and investigate and not listen to our parents if they think that that means that they've done a bad job parenting. It's nothing to do with that. It's not a fucking choice. It's just a thing that happens that you need a little bit of help with sometimes.
And it has that stigma too of, you know, you hear people saying, oh, well, they're trying to numb kids now. They're just putting them on ADD medication or, you know, because they're too loud or whatever. And I'm like, well, they're going to get a rude fucking shock when those kids are still loud. and annoying, but can just sit down and read a book. It doesn't numb you out. It doesn't at all. It just lets you. I mean, I'm kind of grateful as well that I was diagnosed quite late. In hindsight, I am, because it just made me realize my currency. It made me just work harder and be like, well, I'm really loud and can't sit down and can't sit still in class and can't read a book and can't do anything. But what am I? What am I good at? Oh, I'm fucking funny and I can act and I'm dramatic over here. And that's, and you just kind of, for me, I learned my currency, and that was my personality and my, you know, my ability to entertain people and all that sort of stuff. And I've kind of focused on that. And I,
and it's done all right for you in the end, hasn't it?
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, you have just taken over the world. My goodness. you are my favourite follow on Instagram. And for anyone who doesn't know, Celeste is behind the iconic hashtag Challenge Accepted, where she takes very, very glamorous and unrealistic sort of supermodel or A-lister or influencer situations. And she puts a sort of just everyday human spin on them. She's not trying to shame anyone. I think some people sometimes get the wrong idea that she's not being positive. She's just being funny, and she's just saying what we're all thinking, which is just, I don't really relate to that. When we see these fucking videos and they've got the perfect amount of breeze in their hair and everyone's glowing, like their assholes are shining, like, let's just be real. Let's be real. And you brought real back to Instagram, and good. And it's been it's just been so much fun. It's been so much fun watching your rise, and it was just so organic. And I think one of the things that makes you so special is your freedom. I love how you talk about the fact that when you post these kind of, you know, scantily clad videos of yourself parodying a famous person's video, often a famous actress or model, that people will call you brave, and you find that really offensive because you're like, I'm not doing a brave thing. What was it you said? Go on.
I'm brave, but the model's empowering. That's what it is.
Exactly. When Kendall Jenner does it, it's empowering. When you do it, it's brave.
When Em Radakowski wears dental floss, they're like, you're empowering women. You're the face of feminism. And then I do it and they're like, wow, bitch, you're brave. I'm like, why? Why is that different? Why isn't
And what do you think the subtext is of that bravery?
You're brave because, oh my God, you shouldn't be looking like that in a bikini. You're so brave to do that. That's great. That's the subtext of it. And yeah, I mean, my intention has always been with this is just to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And then if where they take it from there is up to them. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. I've got fucking kids. I'm not their mum. They can do what they want. But I like to kind of start the conversation and be like, imagine if this body was doing what that body's doing. Have a laugh and now think about it how you want.
Yeah.
But it's just to make people fucking laugh because it's a parody. I'm not mimicking them. I'm not trying to do exactly what they're doing. It's a parody. I'm adding to it.
Well, I fucking lulled when I read what you said, which is that, like, I'm not brave. What I'm doing isn't brave. The first poo that you do after labor, after giving birth, is
first
brave.
First poo you do after having a baby, that's fucking brave. That's brave. That's brave. It's because you don't know if you'll make it through. That's brave.
Can't relate. That's fucking hilarious and terrifying all at the same time.
I get so many messages from people after they saw my stand-up show doing that, going, I just did my first poo. I just had what the fuck is it? Like beside themselves. Like, yeah, that's brave. Not putting on an ill-fitted bikini. That's not brave. That's funny. Who gives a shit?
And it's also like, it's not funny. It's also just, it is funny, but it's also, it doesn't have to be funny. It's also just life. And I fucking love looking at you in a bikini. As much as that might sound inappropriate, I think you look fantastic. I fucking love looking at you in a bikini. You look great. One of the most fun days of my, yeah, I agree. One of the truly great days of my career was us two getting to do the cover of InStyle magazine together. We did a whole, it was a sort of fantasy conversation that somehow turned into reality where Celeste and I were talking about the fact that all these fucking like girlfriends photo shoots that happen in all these fashion magazines, and they take two supermodels, kind of like an Emirata and a Kendall Jenner, and they'll show like a girl's night out. But it'll be so clean and they'll have just a perfect night and everyone will look perfect throughout the entire night. And we were just like, fuck off, not to them, but fuck like off to the idea that that's a girl's night out. Yeah, exactly.
And going, that's the funniest thing ever, salad, like laughing. You're like, that's not what it looks like. when you go out. This is what it looks like when you go out. I mean, we looked fucking hot as well.
Oh, we looked great. It was great. But also we just, it was like, and we wanted to take it so far, but we didn't have time in the day. I wanted to piss in the street. I think we did that photo of pissing in the street, but I wanted to hold your hair back while you threw up vomiting in the toilet. Like we wanted to together showcase like a real girls' night out. It's messy. We fight. We go through a whole emotional journey on a night out.
We were sitting in like a private booth and we're both just crying because we didn't want to be there.
Yeah, because we both hate the club.
All the confetti around us and all these hot people with like, yeah, here's the drink. And we were just crying because who wants to be in a club?
No one. Bueno. That's one thing I really don't miss. I'm glad the clubs were closed and are still closed in many places in the world. Anyway, okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now listen, we all carry around different stresses, big, small, medium size, and a lot of us keep them bottled up because sometimes we just have to. But doing that all of the time can really, really start to negatively impact your life. And I say that from experience. I'm British. We are told to never say how we're feeling about anything ever. And that's why so many of us are so sad. Now, a way that I was able to remedy that was by having therapy, which was super helpful for me, not only because it's amazing to get things off your chest, but also all week, you know, as you're bottling things up, because it's not always the time or place to say exactly how you feel, you know, you're going to get that hour where you're able to get everything off your chest and say it exactly as you want to. And this therapist isn't going to take it personally, and they're not going to hold it against you or throw it back in your face during an argument over dinner next week. You just have this complete freedom. Honestly, I think everyone should have therapy, regardless of whether they think they need it, because it's so amazing to have a confidant. It's a journal that talks back to you and helps you with all of your problems. I think therapy is just a safe space to get everything off your chest, to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, then maybe you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be super convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And then you can switch therapists if you don't like them anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/iway today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iway.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade, New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker, London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
So it's very clear that I love Celeste. It's very clear that I think very highly of her and that she's very cool and impressive. She's given me some advice on my mental health. That's very handy. Yes. I now want to talk to you about fucking marriage, because we have been subjected to your fucking happy marriage with your hot husband, who we know on the internet as #hothusband, just straight up pure objectification, and your adorable kids and your wonderful life. And I want to know, how did 2020 go for you and your family and marriage? How did you keep it all together? I can sense that it was obviously like troubling, especially considering what you were going through personally with all the meds, etc. But what was it like? Because I look to you as a life role model.
Oh, you're very kind. Don't do that. It still is hard. I find RP and I have been together for 18 years.
Shit.
And something I have realized about us is that we are very good at missing each other. So when I'm away at work, we're very good at going, oh, well, I miss you, I love you, I love you. And then when I come back, it's lovely and delicious. And then I go again. And it's always been like that. He has two daughters to a previous relationship, and he would have to leave to go to the girls a lot, obviously. And so we weren't always together at all times. And that's been 18 years of that. And that's worked. And now with you know, lockdown, it's just, you know, he's here in front of my face at all times. And we are both Taurians. So where there's two bulls in the house, and I don't really know how much I believe in all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Until I need to, and I need to now, and there are two fucking bulls in the house. I like to objectify him, and people find it crazy because I'm like, yeah, imagine that, objectifying a man. It's easy. You just flip it. It's just quite easy to do. You just flip it to a man.
Trophy husband, I understand.
Yeah. And, but I'm very careful. No, I'm very clever at what I put out there to do with my marriage because that's mine. I'm heavily aware of what I put out there. You hardly see my kids and that's for a reason and all that stuff. But sometimes it's not, most of the time it can be not fucking pretty. It's hard. Marriage is hard. And when you say those vows, I will love you forever, then you realize that forever is a very.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, fuck. Oh God. But one thing that Arpi and I have always had, and I think we are very lucky, it was we just absolutely love each other. We just absolutely have this passion and love for each other. We don't always get along. We don't always jam. And that doesn't always look like he's my best friend and he's always got my back. Not the case.
No.
Not the case at all. Sometimes I'm like, why the fuck are you sitting over there when I'm over here and I need you to be backing me? And he's like, because I don't want to. And that's its own thing. But you just got to get on with it, you know.
Oh, totally. No, it was hard. It was hard. I have a great fucking relationship and it was hard at some point because you just, no one is supposed to see that much of each other. It's not normal. It's not okay. Yeah, we did all right, but it was just like, you need some fucking space and you can't go outside and there's so much anxiety everywhere and you just don't get time to do all your like, you know, sort of private single person behavior. We need the SPB. I said V almost.
Absolutely.
We need the SPB, you know, like we need that time to just, you know,
be do our own shit and not have to explain it. But also like energetically as well, that doesn't always mesh. It's not always great. And so we just miss each other. Like in the, and our energies are just fucking off and it can breed stuff that it doesn't need to breed and you just need to get through it. I remember we had a massive fight. And I was like, fuck, I just don't, like, this is just really intense. And he was like, he felt exactly the same. And he was like, this fucking pandemic, it's because we're, you know, it's not normal for us to be spending this much time together. And I had to listen to that because I thought, no, it's not the pandemic. It's you and me and we're done. But it was so good that he said that. He's like, no, this is fucking weird. This is a weird thing to be doing all the time. He got offered a job to go away for 3 months and he said no. And I went, why? And he went, 'cause I'll be away for-. Yeah. And he goes, because I'll be away for 3 months. And I went, yes, but you'll be away for 3 months. Like, come on.
Take one for the team. Yeah, my boyfriend has been happily waving me off as I go off to do different jobs. Bye.
Yeah. All the best. Here's a packed lunch. Don't hurry back.
Yeah, and we don't really text while I'm away. Like neither of us are talking to each other when we go away. It's just like, let's just use this as like a reset so we'll be happy when we see each other again.
Yeah, absolutely. I realized as well that there are a handful of straight heterosexual men that I have in my life. I don't have many in my life, and that's for a reason. Like girls and gays are my jam. And hanging out with this straight guy all the time when I don't really have my outlet of, you know, other people, my jam, I'm like, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Straight men. That's right. That's
so
the thing.
Were you able to do, I mean, you also don't have to answer this question, but were you able to do any kind of like online therapy? I know some people have been doing that, do like kind of couples therapy together. No, didn't do
probably
that.
Probably should have. We probably really should have, but no, we didn't. We just went, I got a treadmill. That's what I got. I put it on my roof and I go on that every now and then. Teddy the Treddy, just try and run it out.
Teddy the Treddy.
Yeah. So end of fights would end like this. I'm going to Teddy. and storm upstairs.
That's really productive. I go and stress eat until I can't breathe and I have to sit on all fours because that's the only way that my stomach doesn't push against my lungs.
Oh, man.
It's the exact opposite. I'll just sit there just shoveling for just the whole pandemic. It's been stressful.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of screaming into pillows for me as well. A lot of closing doors quiet and then just screaming into a pillow.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a relief for everyone to hear. Everyone is going through this shit. There are either single people who are wondering, would I have been happier stuck inside with someone? Highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
Or there are people in relationships wondering, is it us or is it the pandemic? And who knows? Maybe it's one or maybe it's the other. Maybe the pandemic's helping show you that maybe you are in the wrong relationship. But often, try to just give this a beat. We're not in the clear yet, unless we're in New Zealand.
If you're a
couple fighting in New Zealand, the problem is you, okay?
It's not the
pandemic. Break the fuck up. Get a divorce.
Break up. Absolutely.
But outside of that.
Do you know what blows my mind? Hearing people say, so many babies are going to be made during the pandemic. I was like, I could think of nothing fucking worse. Really? Like, he's just getting all sexy during this. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I know. That's so funny. It's so true. So many people are conceiving. Loads of my friends are popping out babies at the end of this. But I think that they all got pregnant in like March at the beginning. You know, when everyone was like, great, we've got time together. Yeah. And everyone still loved each other. I think that's when that shagging happened. And then I think after that, it's just been pregnancy. I don't think anyone's been fucking throughout the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since March, now they're just like, now I'm fucking pregnant.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. So any sage words of wisdom, seeing as you did manage to stay together throughout 2020? Anyone, any words of advice to anyone out there who's just about to fucking gouge their partner's eyes out?
I sometimes imagine that my husband's dead and how sad I would think that happened. So I think, I would really fucking, I'd be so sad if you were dead. So I'm going to give you a cuddle and try and be nice. Is that advice?
That's I'm not saying I'm trying to kill you. That's so funny. And also just so effective.
Because I think, well, if he's not here, I'd be really sad. And then I'd be furious at myself when he has died that I was a bitch before he died. So come on, be nice.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I feel like we should think that before we make every single decision in life.
Yeah.
Like, what if I died? What if that person, like, we should have, I think about death constantly as a positive, as a way to keep myself positive of like, you know, I think that was a big part of getting out of my eating disorder was thinking, when I'm old, do I want to look back on my entire life as I would my 20s, which is just spending it counting calories and weighing myself?
Mm.
And I think having that realization, if I died today, that's all I've done in my 20s. Yeah. And I think that's why when I got to the end of my 20s, I was like, right, I'm throwing everything at recovery because I don't want to look back on the rest of my life as just an attempt to have my hip bones like jut out over my jeans.
Yeah.
I wear leggings now.
And I know, stretchy pants.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it sounds really macabre, but it's kind of important to think that we're dead in a minute. It's all done.
Yeah, and 2020.
It's all done in a minute.
2020 brought that home in more ways than just the pandemic. Just everything we saw going on racially or going on with different groups or going on with fires or catastrophes or floods all around the world. Like this year, we could not escape the reality that really, you really don't have any control over what's going to happen. So try and live your life accordingly in a way that will make you feel peaceful if shit does hit the fan.
Yeah. And I think in the same breath, by doing that, you need to give yourself a break if you're fucking struggling. If you're hating on whoever you're living with or hating on yourself or trying to go through stuff, you're allowed to be upside down. You're allowed to not fucking be okay for a minute. I think people think, you know, oh, well, we're just at home. I should be making the most of it. It's terrifying because there's no end date. There's no even, I know I keep, you know, talk about the fires, but even with the fires, those seasons end. You know that there's, we don't have an exact date, but we know around March in Australia, it's going to cool down, you know.
And yeah.
But this, what the fuck, we've got second wave, third wave all over the country, new strands. People are allowed, I think, to first and foremost, just give yourself a break. If you're not okay, let yourself be not okay. And then call a mate or text someone, and if it goes on a bit, and be like, I'm not okay, and give yourself space in that. Stop always trying to think that what you should be doing. It's one thing my husband has taught me, take the word should out of your vocabulary. I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Take it out.
Have you ever taken that facetiously and been like, yeah, I should empty the dishwasher,
yeah,
but exactly. I won't because he told me to take that word out of my mouth.
Yeah,
I should give a blowjob.
You know what you should put in your vocabulary, babe? Laundry. Whack that in your vocabulary. Arpy, see how that goes. But the word should and deserve, gone.
Yeah.
Also, I don't like giving people advice. Do what you want. Just be kind to yourself.
Yeah, but I also love getting advice from you. So I'm sorry. I know you don't like giving it as if you were as if you are some sort of a deity. But I do think you're just like, you are one of my more practical and thoughtful friends. And so that's why I just like hearing what you think about everything.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
I think a lot of people don't know that you started as an actor.
Yeah.
Little parts here and there and Home and Away. You know, there are so many things that you'd been working at in entertainment for such a long time. The Instagram thing was a total fluke kind of joke between you and a friend that just took off across the world.
My sister and I would send these photos to each other. But I mean, I always had in the back of my head as well that this was, I know I'm funny. I knew that this was funny. I knew that this would cut through and that this would get me in front of people. I knew that I wanted this to create work for myself. I mean, I had a meeting with years ago now when I started doing these photos, like 4 or 5 years ago now, with like a production company here. And they were like, yeah, you're funny. You're really good. It was when my Instagram had started. I'd got like maybe 10,000 followers or something. And they were like, if you can kind of you can come to us with an idea and an audience, then we can maybe talk about a show. And I was like, cool. What the fuck is it that you do then? Why am I doing all the things? I don't know. I'll just do it on my own then. If I'm coming to give you everything and then you control it, I might just hold off and kind of
do it myself.
Do it my own way. And that's kind of, what it's done. And then, of course, you know, America wakes up to it and then bang, it's everywhere. But work has come. And that was always the plan, to work. Not to be an influencer. Fuck a duck not to be an influencer. Yuck, yuck. But yuck yuck for me.
Influencers are fine. We both feel that influencers are fine.
They're fine.
Your hair extensions that you're wearing while you're selling us fucking hair growth gummies. You arsehole.
You fucking asshole.
So angry. I get so angry seeing these adverts. Christ.
Also, this is my skincare regime. Well, why are you telling me that? Just put your doctor's name, your plastic surgeon's name at the bottom of in your comments. Don't tell me you put cream on your face. That's not true.
I know. It annoys me. And this is the whole thing. I mean, this is why you and I first kind of found each other, because I think people kept on sending us to one another. We were doing very different things, but with the same kind of intentional message of just like, can we just be real for a moment?
Yeah.
Can we just be normal? Can we just quit with the editing and the filters for a second?
Absolutely.
And just let women live.
And the thing for me with the Instagram stuff, like for me, back in the day, magazines, right? You know, you'd flick through. I actually write about this in my book. You flick through and you'd see a photo of Cindy Crawford, and she's on a motorbike on the top of a building, and she's got hair that goes all the way down the stairs, and it's amazing. She's got crazy gorgeous makeup on, and you look at that and you go, well, Cindy Crawford is the only person yeah. that can do that. That is highly curated.
It's a fantasy.
Highly fit. Exactly. And that's what they're selling. They are going, don't think that you could ever do this. This is Cindy Crawford. Sure. But then Instagram came along and blurred those fucking lines and went, you know, a girl in activewear on a yacht going, just love me some school drop off. And I'm like, hang on. That's not dropping off a kid in like those made bullshit life
yeah.
seemingly attainable. And if you can't be doing what they're doing, you don't deserve love. And that's why I was like, hang on a minute. I got to cut through this shit real quick because that's not
yeah.
that you're selling that to us. Like that's what we should be doing. Whereas Cindy Crawford on a motorbike on a roof. Sure. Oh my God. Put that on my wall because what a fun photo. But now it's that idea of going, isn't this how you wake up every morning at 3 a.m. and get your smoothie and get your yoga in and get your body shaming in and it's not even 6 a.m.?
Like, no, get your body shaming in. yeah.
It's not
weirdly,
how.
Like, no, but it's how I feel about porn, weirdly, that, you know, when, you know, a lot of young people, children, you know, sort of 11, 12, 13 years old are watching pornography. And what I say about the issue with such young people watching pornography is that when they're watching, like, I don't know, Avatar or the Transformers, they are aware that that is fantasy, right? The yep. people are dressed blue. There are signals that say this is not real or this is animated. The problem with pornography is it looks like real people, so therefore they just see that as accessible people who might just yep. look like a much more toned version of mum and dad, you know, with bigger bits and or smaller bits or shaved bits. And they therefore process that as complete reality, and then they have a false expectation of what sex is going to look like and yep, feel like and what absolutely. It should entail. And I think that we're doing the same thing when it comes to our aesthetics and expectations on social media. It's exhausting to watch, to just even reading the statistics of what's happening to women's minds and to the teenage girls' minds based on all these lies that people tell. And, you know, you started this to be funny, but it's definitely become kind of accidentally socially political. And I think that's why we are often like referenced in a lot of the same spaces, because we're just like, listen, we don't want to hurt anyone. We're not trying to kill anyone. We're not trying to cancel anyone.
No.
But let's just be fucking real, because it's a crime against women.
It really
is.
To
not do so.
It really is. And I remember Ricky Gervais saying when he hosted the Globes, one of the many times he hosted the Globes, he was in an interview and they, I think it was with Ellen maybe, and she said, do you ever feel bad? Like, do you feel like you're being mean or anything? And he was fantastic. He went, I'm in a room with 250 of the most privileged people in the world. They're all right if they can't handle an hour of him going, you guys need to put your fucking heads in. He doesn't care. He's like, I feel the same thing too when people are like, do you feel mean or anything? And I'm like, no, I only use photos that they post. It's not like I've got a drone going into fucking Miley Cyrus's backyard and I'm trying to get photos.
Oh, I do. Is that weird?
I'll just borrow yours. if it's a paparazzi photo, I won't use it unless they've reposted it. So it's kind of the images that they're putting out there. And again, they're the most beautiful, privileged people mm-hmm. in the world. It's not like I'm going to a burns unit at a children's hospital.
But also what people don't know is that you have celebrities actually asking you to parody them yeah. now. Like, it's almost like they're using you for promo. This is hilarious. So anyone who's worrying that she's being mean, they're fucking reaching out to Celeste personally to be like, can you make
and
this
I
funny?
Think if Cindy Crawford's okay with it and Gwyneth Paltrow's okay with it, you can all fucking be okay with it.
100%.
Some people don't like it, but people are allowed to be sick of being made fun of. I get it. Fine. Some people have blocked and aren't into it. No problem. Moving on.
You had a big and really important moment recently when you called out Instagram when you had copied a photograph of a Victoria's Secret model and you had exactly replicated the photograph. And really the only difference between that photograph, you know, that you're nude in it, she's nude, you're kind of covering your bits with your hands or like with a bit of, I don't know, silk. And you're both in an identical pose, showing all the identical bits but your body is really not even that much bigger than her body. And yet yours got taken down off Instagram. Hers wasn't. Hers was up, is still up now. Yours was repeatedly taken down off of Instagram because it was, they claimed that that was inappropriate and it was nudity. Can you explain more about what happened?
Yeah, well, they didn't actually take mine down.
Oh,
they
right.
They're clever. They just blocked that people couldn't share it. Now, that was I was wearing more than what the model was wearing. She was naked, like completely naked, but had like a jacket hanging off the back of her shoulder type thing. And then she had her hand over her, holding her breast. I actually had a thong on. I had she didn't have her pants on. And I was holding my breast. Now, it was a breast covering issue, supposedly. And I just called bullshit. I was like, it's this body that you are blocking. And if you, and I just didn't, in two quick Insta stories on it, I was fucking livid. And I said, I said something like, you know, Instagram, if you want to let me know why you're taking my photo, you're not letting people share my photo.
But you are allowing her photo to be shared.
And I said to her, I was like, because it's this body. That's what your issue is. Don't fuck around. This is the body that you have the issue with. Don't come at me with your policies. And if you want to have a chat about it, my contact details are in my bio. Thanks. Like, then I took my kids to school. I was just pissed. And then it fucking went nuts. Everyone was like, yeah, hang on, what's going on? And then Instagram reached out and they were already in the process of changing the breast covering policy because that excellent lady in the UK, Curvy Naomi, is that her name? She posted something months earlier, again, of herself covering up and it was taken down. And so she has started this thing, this movement really with, she was like, well, fuck that, what's going on? So Instagram had already started changing this policy. Then they contacted me and they were like, do you, thanks to your post and we're now more aware of it, we're moving toward making this happen quicker and do you want to be a part of us announcing it? And I was like, not on your fucking life, because I'm cautious of it because I don't think it's over. I think they go, well, the breast covering policy has changed now. I'm like, yeah, well, until the next photo I post. And you say it's some other bullshit thing. Because at the end of the day, it's not. It's your body shaming. It's you thinking my body is offensive and someone else's isn't. So,
yeah, I hear about this all the time because I have so many friends who work within activism or who are plus size models, et cetera, who all tell me constantly that their photographs are taken down. And I mean, sometimes they'll be wearing like a t-shirt and shorts. And their photograph will be taken down for too much nudity, for example, like the algorithm has detected too much nudity. Now, what I believe that is, and I am no tech expert, but what the theory is online is that it's because they are bigger. So visibly, the ratio of clothing to actual skin showing means that the algorithm detects it as nudity. Or it detects it as an inappropriate amount of skin showing, but it's like just someone bigger wearing like a bikini. But then you take someone absolutely tiny. Exactly. But then you take someone absolutely tiny who's just wearing like, you know, I've seen pictures of, and I in no way, it's a beautiful photograph and it's amazing and she looks wonderful. But Emrata posting about abortion with truly just like a flower covering the most explicit part of her genitalia. And I think then her hand may be covering her nipples. So it's like she's fully naked and she's wearing a flower.
Absolutely.
And that was left up and kept up and celebrated and shared millions of times. And other women who are bigger can't post in a fucking bikini. Like, this is super problematic. And I love that you were able to put it in a way where they couldn't run away from it any longer. And it's given a lot of people a voice to be able to talk about this issue because, you know,
it's still happening.
Oh, for sure.
Like, people are sending me photos saying this got pulled down.
Yeah.
And like that, yeah. I mean, I've seen photos of people with women with no top on, completely tits McGee. Great. Mm-hmm. Knock yourself out. And like maybe half their finger over their vagina.
Yeah.
And that's like, feminism. And I think, great, go nuts. do what you want, mm-hmm. and I'm happy for anyone to be able to do what they want. But if they can't, if they can do it, why can't I? That's the question.
Yeah.
That's my question.
And the many, many women who are also much bigger than you, who can't even post even in just sort of like regular summer clothes, that is detected as nudity and taken down. Not specifically on this one like app, but just across social media, this is a huge problem, and we are denying people work, and we are also harming their self-esteem personally. And by erasing these bodies online, we are then, not, I don't say we as in like you and I are involved, but us as a society, by not representing those bodies, not allowing those bodies to exist amongst the kind of realm of photographs, then other people don't get to see them. And then other people who look like that don't get to see, or even people who don't like that, don't look like that, don't get to see that that is a perfectly normal, beautiful, wonderful way to live and exist.
Yeah.
If we don't see it, we can't be it, you know? So
that's the word, normal. What's normal? So the model photos, we are still in society pushing that is normal.
Mm.
Your thighs shouldn't touch because that is normal. And if they do touch, then you are brave for showing that. And that's the issue. What is seen as normal? And it's usually a thin white woman.
Mm.
That is normal. A Victoria's Secret model is what is being pushed out still as normal.
This stuff is getting to you more now, isn't it? Like we've known each other now kind of a little bit over the years, but I can see visibly, but well, you know, while we're looking at each other over Zoom, I can see that this is definitely emotionally starting to hit home in a new way for you.
Yeah. And it's starting to piss me off now.
Because
I'm like, come on. And it is easily fixed. It is easily fixed. Like, especially on social media, it's a click of a button. It's an unclick of an algorithm thing. That's what it is. You just take those limits off women who don't look like a model, and then they're free. I should not have made the news. I should not have made international news for that.
Yeah,
but I did because of the way I look.
Which is so. But also, by the way, you don't look bad. There is nothing that looks bad. But also, you aren't even, the thing I found the funniest about that photograph is that you're not even much bigger. So that means who the fuck else is being policed on this thing?
Exactly.
Because you're not that much bigger. This wasn't some dramatic photo difference. It really wasn't. It might maybe even feel that way to you, but it really wasn't. As an objective person who knows you, who's also just has eyes, it was so unextreme that I was astounded by it, truly. But I am, obviously I feel you because I've been so upset about this stuff for such a long time. And I wanted to ask, and I don't feel like we've spoken about this much because we're normally just bantering on or just sort of talking our shit. But how are you with your own body image? Like, you know, you go out of your way to kind of, I don't know, promote just being okay in your own skin. How have you gotten to, I don't even know where you're at on it. Like, where are you at on your own body image, considering that you're seeing all this stuff or these things are happening, et cetera? I would really love to know.
Well, it changes like everyone's. And I think, you know, going back to like I was saying before about learning my currency early and knowing that how I look is not the most interesting part of me. I've never been brought up to think that. Mm. And, you know, struggling at school. So like I say, knowing my currency, knowing my strengths and playing on those and realizing that that's having a great personality is a fucking great thing. You know, people use it as a joke going, oh, well, she's got a great personality. I'm like,
it's a really great,
people say that like it's
big deal.
Rude.
Yeah. I know.
But sometimes I have to drink my own Kool-Aid though. Sometimes if I'm doing a photo as an example, or I'll have to be like, whoa, I'll see the photo and be like, whoa, Baba, all right, okay. And then I go, come on. And I have to have a minute where I go, well, you're doing good work. You know, it's funny. That photo in as an example that we're just talking about, I had to drink my Kool-Aid for that. I was like, oh, shit, you are looking like that. Okay, with your big wrinkly belly and it's got cellulite and all that sort of stuff. I had to have a minute where I just took stock and bought into what you and I are selling and that body positive and it's a good thing and how you look doesn't matter. But sometimes it can be tricky, like it is for everyone, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you're doing specific actual comparison culture in the fact that you're putting your photograph right alongside hers, or like a video of J-Lo. I understand that, like, you know, this is, yeah. I mean, this, you're still having to live and survive the toxicity of our comparison culture obsession.
Yeah. And also the flip side of that is, if I have lost a bit of weight, as an example, because of my medication, and I do a photo, they're like, nah, not funny anymore. You're too skinny. Oh, you can't fucking win, can you? Women can't win. It's still funny. What I did that J-Lo photo and the caption was, I'm on the right. I thought that was fucking hilarious. It was J-Lo was on the left. I was on the right. The caption was just, I'm on the right. Because no one can look like J-Lo, but people still, nah, you're looking too good. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Again, I will say to my husband sometimes when he takes my photo, this is the other side where I just think I'm banging. And I'm like, babe, hang on, just wait. I need to just chat because I don't want to look too good. And he's like, you're fine. You don't. It's like, you're fine. But it's a pendulum swing for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
For all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I've taken up loads of your time. And thanks for coming on and being just so sweet and fun and cool. And thanks for everything that you do for women, even though you just meant to make us laugh. And thanks for setting just a really good example of what a responsible and thoughtful role model or person with a big platform is. It's been a great joy getting to know you over the last couple of years, and also knowing that the woman that we see represented online is exactly who you are behind the camera.
Oh, you're very kind.
I'm actually a bit of a dick sometimes, but I really mean
this.
No,
I know that.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to say that because it's recorded.
But before we leave, I always ask people at the end of this show, what do you weigh? And I do not mean in pounds or kilos. You know the I Weigh movement by now. Celeste, while I have you here, will you please tell me, what do you weigh?
I weigh my children.
Mm-hmm.
I weigh my sense of humor. I weigh how much I give a shit about others. I weigh how empathetic I am. I weigh my positivity. I weigh my marriage. And I weigh my drive and ability to hustle. Oh, they were good.
They were so good.
I was going, what do I weigh? That's good. And then I was thinking, what do I like weigh on the scale?
And that's how we like it. Well, love you loads. We'll catch
Big
up
love,
soon.
Darling.
Thank you so much. And remember, you everyone, remember, everyone, imagine that you or your loved ones could die any minute now, and then make your decisions for happiness accordingly. Good night. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I Weigh with Jameela Jamil is produced and researched by myself, Jameela Jamil, Erin Finnegan, and Kimmy Gregory. It is edited by Andrew Carson, and the beautiful music that you're hearing now is made by my boyfriend, James Blake. If you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It's a great way to show your support. I really appreciate it, and it amps me up to bring on better and better guests. Lastly, at I Weigh, we would love to hear from you and share what you weigh at the end of this podcast. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-818-660-5543 or email us what you weigh at iweighpodcast@gmail.com. It's not in pounds and kilos, so please don't send that. It's all about your you know, you've been on the Instagram anyway. And now we would love to pass the mic to one of our listeners. I Weigh, trying to be a better person every day for myself and those around me. I weigh my journey with my mental health. I weigh my compassion and determination to understand and love everyone, no matter how hard it can be sometimes. I weigh my care being experienced. I weigh being open-minded and speaking up for myself and others around me. And I weigh my achievements.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.